Translation of Purple by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. O Lord, your form is worshipable by performances of sacrifice, but souls who are simply miscreants are unable to see it. All the Vedic hymns, Gayatri and others are in touch of your skin. In your bodily hairs is the kusa grass. In your eyes is the clarified butter. And in your four legs are the four kinds of fruitive activities. Purple. There is a class of miscreants who are known in the words of Bhagavad Gita as Vedavadi, or so-called strict followers of the Vedas. They do not believe in the incarnation of the Lord, or to speak of the Lord's incarnation as the worshipable hog. They describe worship of the different forms of incarnations of the Lord as anthropomorphism. In the estimation of Srimad Bhagavatam, these men are miscreants. And in the Bhagavad Gita 7.15, they are called not only miscreants, but also fools and the lowest of mankind. And it is said that their knowledge has been plundered by illusion due to their atheistic temperament. For such condemned persons, the Lord's incarnation as the gigantic hog is invisible. These strict followers of the Vedas who despise the eternal forms of the Lord may know from Srimad Bhagavatam that such incarnations are personified forms of the Vedas. The Lord's skin, his eyes, and his bodily hairs are all described here as different parts of the Vedas. He is therefore the personified form of the Vedic hymns and especially the Gayatri mantra. Om Gyanati Madandasya Garanjana Shalakaya Chakshusum Militam Yena Tasme Shri Guru Yenama Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthar Putale Shimati Bhakti Vidanta Swami Yitinamani Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pajarine Nivaje Sunyavari Pasita Deshutarine Jaya Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garada Chivasati Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Sivaram Swami Iti Namine. Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Yidana Bhavinibhyo Vishnu. Joy. So when Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, taking darshan of Lord Jagannath, he became overwhelmed with ecstatic symptoms. And trying to embrace Lord Jagannath, he fell unconscious. So, luckily, Sarvabhum Bhattacharya was there. So he took the Lord home and he took care of him. The next day, the devotees came and they chanted the Maha Mantra, and the Lord again regained consciousness. And when Lord Chaitanya was a baby, he was doing the same thing then. He would start to cry, and the mothers, the ladies there, they would chant the Maha Mantra, and immediately he would stop crying. So we can see Lord Chaitanya, throughout his Leela here, he's emphasizing the importance of chanting the Maha Mantra. Because Lord Chaitanya is the he is the Yuga Dharma incarnation. And he's specifically coming to spread the Sankirtan movement through the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And he puts the chanting of the holy name of the Lord in front of everything else. Everything else is to facilitate the chanting. So, Sarvabhauma, the next day, he asked Gopinath Acharya, he said, what is his name? He's talking about Lord Chaitanya. He said, what is his name and what sannyasa order does he belong to? And Gopinath said his name is Krishna Chaitanya and he belongs to the Bharati sannyasa order. And Sarvabhauma said, oh yeah, Krishna is a very nice name, but I don't like the fact that he's taken sannyas with the Bharati sannyasa order, because the Bharati sannyas order is considered a second class sannyas order. And you see, Lord Chaitanya, he's not dependent on external things like taking sannyas or anything like that. He took sannyas from Keshava Bharati, and Keshava Bharati was a Mayavadi impersonalist. So the question is, why did Lord Chaitanya take sannyas from a Mayavadi? The acharyas give two reasons why. Does anybody know? Anyone? Yeah, that's one reason. Yeah. Anyone else? So the acharyas give two reasons. First, Srila Prabhupada says, he says, for Lord Chaitanya to take sannyas from a Mayavadi was a formality. Because if you're a sannyasi, you simply have to take sannyas from another sannyasi. And the Mayavadis, at least they're following Vedic principles. Yeah. Just like Prabhupada gives the example, if someone's doing your wedding, a priest, you get a priest who's doing your wedding. You don't care about the personal opinion of the priest. He's just doing your wedding. So, and the fact that Lord Chaitanya didn't change his name to Bharati, he kept his name as Chaitanya. And Chaitanya is given to the brahmacharis who look after the sannyasis in the Bharati sannyas order. So Prabhupada said he didn't actually take sannyas. So the first reason the acharyas give, yeah, is because at that time the whole of India was overburdened. I'll use the word burdened. It was overburdened with Mayavadis and impersonalists. So Lord Chaitanya took sannyas in the impersonalist order because he also didn't want to disturb the social convention at that time. He had more important things to do. And also, like it was mentioned by Subhadra, that then they would respect him. Because Lord Chaitanya came to deliver all living entities. And he also wanted to deliver the Mayavadis and the impersonalists. So he said after Keshava Bharati gave Lord Chaitanya sannyas, Lord Chaitanya and Keshava Bharati would both chant and dance in ecstasy. So he delivered his sannyas guru, Keshava Bharati, as well. And also Lord Chaitanya, he wasn't showing all his potencies as Bhagavan fully, like Krishna does. When Krishna comes to this planet, he displays all his potencies in full. He lifts Govardhan Hill with his little pinky, and he fights the demons. He fought Jarasandha so many times, and he defeated all of Jarasandha's army. He married 16,108 queens in Dwarka, and he had 16,108 palaces to house them. And most of all, he danced with millions and millions of gopis in Vrindavan. So Krishna was showing all his opulences. So in these verses here, we can also see Krishna as Varaha showing his opulences also. He's expanding himself like a huge mountain, going all the way up to the higher planets. He's diving deep into the Gabbadaka ocean and retrieving the earth with his tusks. So these pastimes is explained here in this verse in purple. Certain type of people with the miscreants, which are 99.9% of the people on this planet, they find it very difficult to understand these leelas. Actually, they can't. It's impossible. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya has come, and he's not displaying all these potencies as not to bewilder the miscreants. And also, Lord Chaitanya came as Channa incarnation. Channa means hidden. So what was he hidden as? A devotee. A pure devotee, Mahabhagavat. So he's showing how how a Mahabhagava, how a devotee, a pure devotee behaves, and how therefore giving us an indication how we should also behave. Therefore, people can relate to that easier than relating to the boring incarnation, picking up the earth, and you know, it's this is Lord Chaitanya's special mercy. And what is the most important quality of a devotee? Because Lord Chaitanya has come as a devotee. Anybody? What's the most important quality? Huh? Humility. Because from humility, everything else comes. If you're not humble, you can't have compassion. You can't have tolerance. You can't have any of the other qualities. Because it all comes from humility. Just like when Lord Chaitanya was meeting Prakashananda. Lord Chaitanya's meeting with Prakashananda and Sarvabhauma was more or less the same, what Lord Chaitanya said to them, because they were both impersonalist Mayavadis. So there was one Brahmin, and Prakashananda was criticizing Lord Chaitanya. He said, that Chaitanya, all he does is chant and dance like a madman. And now he's convinced Sarvabhauma to also chant and dance like a madman. So this Brahmin, he was a devotee, and he wanted Lord Chaitanya to meet them and convert them into Vaishnavas. So he invited Lord Chaitanya and said, would you come to my house and meet Prakashananda? Lord Chaitanya said, no, because devotees are not meant to associate with Mayavadis. If you hear Mayavad philosophy, then all your everything is finished. But because Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he came specifically to deliver everyone, and the Mayavadis are one of the lowest, explained here. Yeah, they are the lowest fools and rascals, and as explained in the Bhagavad Gita. So Lord Chaitanya said, he agreed, okay, I'll meet with Prakashananda. And then when Lord Chaitanya got there, he washed his feet and then he sat down. He sat down at a place that where right next to the place where you wash your feet. And Prakashananda, he noticed him. Lord Chaitanya was manifesting his effulgence. And Prakashananda he was attracted to the Lord's effulgence, because that's what they're attracted to, the Mayavadis. They're attracted to the impersonal Brahman. And so Lord Chaitanya was showing his impersonal Brahman. He was saying to Prakashananda, look, Prakashananda, I am the source of the very thing that you are. So you are aiming to achieve with so much difficulty. I am the impersonal Brahman, showing with his effulgence. Just like it said that millions of universes are manifesting from the pores of Krishna's, from Krishna's effulgence. Just like the planets are maintained and manifested by the sun, the energy and the heat of the sun. And the sun is a reflection of Krishna's effulgence. So Prakashananda was very attracted. So he walked over to Lord Chaitanya and he said, the first thing he said was, why are you sitting here? And Lord Chaitanya, again, he was very humble. He said, I'm sitting here because I belong to a second-class sannyas order. It's like he was saying that I'm not qualified like you, you know. Anyway, the conversation goes on a bit. We ain't got time. But then eventually, Prakashananda takes Lord Chaitanya's hand. And Prabhupada explains in a purport, it's in the Madhyalila, I think it's chapter 6. he said that Lord Chaitanya allowed Prakashananda to take his hand. And Prakashananda took his hand, and then he showed him where the rest of the sannyasis were sitting and sat him down there. And Prabhupada said that little gesture of Prakashananda taking the Lord's hand was a jnana sukriti. Lord Chaitanya was allowing him to engage in devotional service, so that later on he was become more qualified to understand the knowledge. So Lord Chaitanya is showing how important it is to engage in devotional service, how it supersedes study of Vedanta, like that. So let's go back to Sarvabhauma. So then Sarvabhauma, he asked, he said, okay, so he belongs to a second class sannyas order. And then Gopinath Acharya said, he wasn't happy. He said, Lord Chaitanya is not dependent on any of these external things, like sannyas and anything like that. These are secondary. So how can you say that? He said, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Bhattacharya's disciples, they said, okay, if he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, prove it. Prove it with logical hypothesis. And then Gopinath said, you cannot understand the Supreme Lord through logical hypothesis. Of course, this is a very intelligent question to ask if someone's claiming to be God, right? Because there has to be some evidence, right? But it's not a logical hypothesis. It's Shabda Praman, transcendental sound vibration, knowledge from the scriptures, like that. It's getting late, isn't it? Hare Krishna. So there's four ways of getting evidence. Pratyaksha, direct perception. That's with the senses. Anuman, that's logical deduction or hypothesis. And then there's Shrishti Atiya, historical evidence. And then finally Shabda Praman, evidence taken from sound vibration or transcendental sound vibration or scriptures. So out of those, Shabda Praman is the most perfect, right? Why is that? Why is it the most perfect compared to the other three? Yeah, that's one reason. Anyone else? Sorry? Yeah, so it's directly coming from Krishna. It's this descending process. Descending means it depends on mercy. Mercy. Just like it's coming down through the parampara, through the spiritual master, and then we get our order from the spiritual master. Just like when Lord Chaitanya was speaking to Prakasananda, what did he say? Actually, I think I missed that bit. Prakasananda said, why are you chanting and dancing like a madman? And what did Lord Chaitanya say? He said, I'm simply following the order of my guru. He said, I'm not qualified to study Vedanta like you. That's why I'm chanting Hare Krishna and chanting and dancing. So basically, Lord Chaitanya was saying, you're the fool because I'm following the order of my guru and I'm doing the very thing that is prescribed in this age of Kali. And then he quotes that verse, Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam. Kalu nasti eva nasti eva nasti eva gatye anyata. So in this age of Kali, the only means of deliverance is by chanting the Maha Mantra. There's no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way. Yeah. So Lord Chaitanya was actually... descending process means you're following the instruction of your spiritual master. And the ascending process is a very difficult process. Just like the Mayavadis, they're using the ascending process. They're trying to understand through logic. They're trying to understand through a hypothesis, not deduction. Deduction, Induction. There's two. There's deduction and induction. Induction, yeah. So they're trying to find out through induction. In other words, deduction is when it comes from authority. Prabhupada gives an example. He says that man is mortal. You know man's mortal because everyone's dying. And it makes sense. Could you go and tell them to stop? Tell them to stop. They can carry on after. Deduction. So, man is mortal. So therefore, Mr. Johnson is a man, therefore he must be mortal. Right? That's deduction. Induction is, okay, if he's mortal, then I want to do an experiment and find out how he's mortal. But that's flawed because they have their experience is limited. In other words, they have no experience of immortality. Does that make sense? So it's like the Mayavadis. They're trying to understand how an aircraft works by using a washing machine manual. Right? Makes sense? They may see with their eyes an aircraft, jets are spinning really fast, the washing machine spins really fast. I can hear with my ears, it's really loud, therefore washing machine is loud. Therefore their conclusion is that it's actually a washing machine. Prabhupada says anthropomorphism. It means they're trying to figure out, yeah? They're trying to figure out how the universe works. But their intelligence is flawed. Therefore, they come up with a conclusion that God must be a person like us or is impersonal. So they're given the category of Maya Aprita Gya, those whose intelligence is stolen by the material energy, by Maya. So there's four types of duskriti. Kriti in duskriti means meritorious work. So the kritis are doing meritorious work because they're intelligent. People are, you know, they're making so many amazing things in the world. But because whatever they're doing goes against the order of the Lord, they're dus. Therefore, duskriti, going against the order of the Lord. So there's four types. Mudhas, the foolish. They work hard day and night compared to the ass. Was it? Yeah. Compared to the ass. The ass works hard just for a little bit of straw. Prabhupada says they're working so hard, even though they have mouth ulcers and indigestion, they haven't got time to eat. They just carry on working. So that's the mudhas, the nardamas. Nara means human beings. The adama means lowest. Lowest nardamas are those who do not follow any religious principles, even though they may be educated or economically well off. And then there's the Maya Pritagya, which is mentioned in this verse here. The scientists, the logicians, the philosophers, and the Mayavadis and Gyanis, impersonalists, they also come under this category. And then there's the final is the Asura Bhavam, the demoniacally atheist. And that more or less speaks for itself. So those four categories are mentioned. So imagine getting all four of those, yeah, the mudhas, the radhamas, the maya pritagyas, and the asuran bhavas, getting all four of them and putting them in one body and one mind. That's Kali Yuga. Because in Kali Yuga, everyone has something, one of those inside you. Actually, no, we have all of them. But obviously some have more than others degrees. So we can see that Lord Chaitanya, he's very merciful in this age. He's specifically come to deliver us. Deliver the Muddhas, the Rahadamas. Otherwise, what chance would we have? Because they could never understand, they can never understand or can never appreciate the sweetness of devotional service. Because they have changed everything from the scriptures. Srila Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, it clearly says that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we should surrender to him. But what they say is, they change it and they say, no, what it actually means is that we should surrender to the unborn within. So to them, Krishna is just an ordinary human being like us, and we should surrender to the impersonal aspect, and that is their goal. And it's a very, very difficult path. There's no rasa, there's no taste. Like in devotional services, so much. Krishna is reciprocating with the devotees all the time. Just like with Madhavendra Puri, Gopinath, the deity, steals some sweet rice from Madhavendra Puri. How can he be a thief? How can God be a thief? It's already offered to him anyway, but he steals it just to reciprocate with his devotee, like this. But they can never understand this sweetness because they're envious. There was one old gopi, and she would maintain herself by selling milk. But she was very poor. She only had 2 cows. And but every day she would offer some milk to Mother Mohan. But one day, because she was poor, she was watering the milk down. And whilst watering the milk, a tiny little fish got into the milk and contaminated it. And she unknowingly gave it to the pujari to offer to the Lord. And when the pujari saw the fish in the milk, he became angry and he chastised her. And he said, okay, we can no longer accept any milk from you. So she was depressed. She went home. She was crying. So she decided to fast because of her offense. And then that evening, a young mendicant came to the door and he said, Mother, do you have anywhere to stay for the night? And in the morning, I'll be gone. And she said, yeah, okay, you can stay. She said, do you want anything? He said, all I want is a glass of milk. So she said, the only milk I got is this contaminated milk. Let me go and milk a cow. He said, no, just give me the contaminated milk. I'll have that. So he drank it. And he said, oh, Mother, this is the best milk I've ever tasted. And then he fell asleep. So she put an old blanket over the mendicant. And then she fell asleep. And then Mother Mohan came to her in a dream. He said, oh, Gopi, why are you still fasting? Don't you know I came to your house tonight to drink some milk? So she got up and she was in ecstasy. She went to check on a mendicant, but he was gone. He just left a beautiful silk chadar behind. So the next morning she ran to the temple and there she saw Madan Mohan wearing an old torn blanket. And the pujaris were bewildered. They're like, oh, what's going on here? I went to wake the Lord up and he's wearing this blanket. And she said, yeah, I know, he came to my house last night to drink some milk. But he left, he was in a rush, so he actually took the blanket and he left these beautiful chadar. So I'm going to give the chadar back. So then they could understand that she was a very elevated devotee. So the Mayavadis, they will never appreciate the sweetness, the relationship Krishna has with his devotees. You see, the devotee is thinking that whatever good qualities I have, it's all due to the mercy of the Lord and my spiritual master. And the Lord is thinking, because I'm serving my devotee, my own qualities are unlimitedly expanding. So this is a relationship. It's very sweet. Like that. Of course, there's many things we can learn from that story. One of them is we shouldn't judge a devotee by their externally, just by the result of their service. Just like the old gopi was judged by her service, and they were thinking, oh, okay, we're going to no longer give her this service because there's a milk's contaminated. But sometimes the result may not always show the heart of the devotee. Like Krishna isn't interested in the result. What is he interested? He's interested in the sincerity of the devotee, the purpose. Why is he doing it? The consciousness, like that. So, and sometimes because we may try very, very hard to do our service perfectly, but the result may not be the way we want it to come out like. And, but that's okay. Because it's our mentality behind it that matters. Just like when you're in book distribution, right? There's days when you do huge and there's days when you do nothing, hardly. But you just accept it. But my experience is going out in book distribution is the days sometimes when you do huge are not necessarily as nice as the days when you don't do huge. But why is that? Because when you're not doing so well, you surrender to Krishna more. Well, at least you're forced to surrender to Krishna. Right? Especially when you're in book distribution. If you don't surrender to Krishna, you're going to get smashed by the material energy. Like that. So we shouldn't judge just by the result of a devotee's service. Of course, only Krishna knows the heart fully. We may have some idea. If you have a relationship with someone, you can have a rough idea where someone's at. But you have to have a relationship with them. But Krishna knows us more than we know ourselves. Like that. Okay, we've gone well over time. Didn't have too much time. I kind of rushed it. Are there any questions or comments? Subhadra? Is there a mic?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your wonderful class. I like the story you told about the gopi and the milk. I was just wondering, where did you hear it from?
I actually got that from Shivram Swami's Navaraja Mahima. So, yeah, that's where I got it from. There's a lot of nectar stories in that book. So, it's nice to read. Yes.
Yeah, thank you. I also liked your class very much. My question is also regarding that story. I was wondering, every time Krishna reciprocates, obviously it's because of the heart of the devotee, but we see that the devotees tend to go, the tapasya which they choose is always to fast.
Sorry?
The tapasya.
Tapasya.
They choose is always to fast. Even Advaita Acharya, when he wasn't understanding some word,
it's always to what?
To fast.
Fast.
Yeah. She was fasting, isn't it?
Oh, you mean the gopi? Okay.
The gopi was fasting. Okay. Yeah. So Krishna reciprocate. Yeah. Then in many instances, devotees choose fast, and there's so many other types of tapasya. So I was wondering, do you have any idea why they choose always that? Is that more the tapasya which is appreciated the most from Krishna?
Well, actually, in Kali Yuga, that's not the only thing prescribed in Kali Yuga is chanting the holy name, and for us, that may be a tapasya, you know? Like chanting 16 rounds is sometimes a tapasya. So fasting, Fasting. See, everything else we do is meant to facilitate the chanting of Hare Krishna. Right? Because chanting Hare Krishna, when we take our vow, initiation vow, when we take a vow to chant 16 rounds, what we're actually saying is that I'm going to take a vow to chant 16 pure rounds, not just 16 waffled rounds, pure rounds. And obviously, we're not at that level where at that time we're chanting purely. So therefore, there are so many other things, like in the Pancharatriki system, the most important thing recommended there is deity worship. Because deity worship gets rid of all the things within the heart which are polluting the heart and the mind very quickly. So that's Pancharatra. But the whole purpose of that is so we can quickly come to the point of pure chanting. So fasting is good, just like at the moment it's Bhishma Panchika, right? So some of you may be fasting. Actually, it said, if you want to do it properly, it said on the first day you have to eat cow dung, on the second day you drink cow urine, on the third day you drink, what is it? Anyway, it slowly gets better, it turns to yogurt, milk, and then I think the fifth day you've got to get all of them, mix them all up and eat it. So if that was, if everyone had a choice, you either do that or go out on Sankirtan, we would have, on Saturday night Sankirtan, we would have thousands and thousands of devotees. But yeah, fasting is it's good, but in our mind, it shouldn't just be, I'm just doing it to get rid of my sins. Because when you read the scriptures, it talks about sins. If you fast on this day, you get rid of trillions and trillions of years of sins. But that is not our process. The purpose of our process is not to get rid of our sins. What is it? It is to... It's not even to go back to Godhead. It's even higher than that. It's to achieve pure love of Krishna. Devotees don't even want to go back to Godhead because they're so ecstatically engaged in devotional service. It's just, it doesn't matter. So it's not to get rid of sins. To get rid of sins, it's impossible. Even by fasting and doing so many things. Because you're simply just walking down the street, you're treading on so many insects. Even when you're cooking a vegetarian meal, you're killing the plants, you're killing so many insects. And according to Shastra, it's sinful and you're going to get a reaction. So, but when you're walking to the temple, there's no reaction. When you're cooking for Krishna, there's no reaction. So if we're fasting, we have to do it in the right consciousness. Why am I fasting? Because I want to develop my dormant love for Krishna. I want to chant the holy name of the Lord purely. When I chant, I want tears to flow down my eyes. I want the hairs of my body to stand on end. But this is not happening because our hearts are hard. Just like the Mayavadis in personage, their hearts are hard like rock. And there's no way they can soften their heart. The only way you can soften the heart, rock hard heart, is to engage in devotional service in a loving, devotional way, like that. So that's our process. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make. My question was more like, why in scriptures always the devotees choose the tapasya to be fasting?
Yeah. But Lord Chaitanya changed all that, you see. Those scriptures, they were written millions and millions and millions and millions from time immemorial. Lord Chaitanya has come and he's just said, all right, you're all miscreants. You've got no intelligence. You can't study Vedanta. You can't fast. You can't do this. You can't do anything. Just chant Hare Krishna. And just by chanting Hare Krishna, we would develop our dormant love for Krishna. It's not that everything else we shouldn't do, we should just sit and chant all day. No, I'm not saying that. Everything else we do simply facilitates the chanting. That's all.
Thank you.
Yeah, could be. Most difficult to control, most ferocious. next sort of instruction. Right? You have to control the tongue, belly, and genitals. And then you can become a guru. But what's the purpose of controlling the senses? It's ultimately to come to the point of pure chanting and develop love for Krishna. Jai. I think I'll stop here. Gyantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Jai. Jai.